If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on radiomd.com. Gary Ginsberg, the best session of the week, I always think, is with Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic, what's not? His website is whatstoxic.com. Gary Ginsberg is a wealth of information. Are my jeans toxic? What do I look for in toxic jeans? I wear jeans all the time on Saturday. Are they going to give me a problem?
Mike, do they fit you so snug? They're so hip-huggery hip that they're cutting off the circulation. There actually is a phenomenon known as tight jean syndrome, in which you can actually pinch nerves, do some chronic nerve damage if you don't pay attention to the signs. There's like a paresthesia. You know how you can go numb in your fingers with some neurological damage? Well, this tight jean syndrome actually causes a numbness, a tingling in the upper legs, in the thighs. That is a hallmark for it when the jeans are just too tight and presses on the nerves. I'm not talking about jeans now. That there's a whole other gene phenomenon out there in which they fight cellulite, supposedly. There are genes that will actually release lotions and oils into your skin from a packet inside the genes. I'm not talking about those genes, but that's a whole nother subject. So you get me started talking about genes and potential issues, you know, we can go far afield here. But I would say to people, you know, if you really want that tight look, you don't want to wear those jeans a lot because it could end up doing some nerve damage.
So this is like the tight pants syndrome that guys have where they haven't changed the belt since high school, and they have a belt size that's 32, and their gut falls over, and when they come to the ER complaining of leg pain, all you do is you cut the belt off, and they're healthy for the rest of their life.
But you know, the ironic thing about this syndrome is that people want to look shapely and sleek, and tight jean syndrome can actually lead to a distended abdomen. So it's going to make you look worse.
Yes, no, that's the that is one of the things that happens with we called it tight pants syndrome when we wrote about it, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago, but I didn't know it occurred in women. I guess the tight jeans are a women thing as opposed to the tight pants are men. Okay, let's go to another one. What are the cardiovascular risks of a glass of water, Gary?
Well, this is research that is being done now. It's cutting-edge research on the arsenic content of the water. Relatively low levels of arsenic are increasingly being associated not only with a cancer risk, but with cardiovascular damage, higher risk for serious cardiovascular events at levels below which we wouldn't have suspected. This particular study has been done in Native Americans and looking at fairly large numbers of them and the levels of arsenic in their water, which are not like what we've seen overseas with the really high levels associated with things like Blackfoot disease and cancers. And these are moderate levels, and still we're seeing cardiovascular risks. So the bottom line here is that if you're on a private well, you want to be testing your water for a whole host of things, but especially you want to know what kind of metals are in your water. You want to know whether there's any toxic levels of arsenic or uranium, especially is what we're encouraging people to test for right now. Uranium is toxic to the kidney. Arsenic is toxic to just about anything else in your body, but the cardiovascular data are very interesting as they're emerging now from this new study in Native Americans.
So let me get this right. We had data from Dr. Oz and the Consumer Reports, and then the FDA on apple juice and low levels of arsenic, and on rice and low levels of arsenic. Are these levels higher than those, or is this the same ballpark level?
These levels are a little higher. I mean, we was looking at the arsenic data in apple juice and 10 to 30 parts per billion. The levels in this study, that's a good question, Mike, are a little bit higher. They range from about 20 up to about 80 parts per billion. But we don't necessarily see a threshold to know how low is safe. So, you know, the story with arsenic in general is the less the better.
Now, what about smart toilets? I can't get this out of my mind. What's a smart toilet?
A smart toilet is one that may be yours in the future if it's being biologically sampled. So we're trying, well, there's some new research out of MIT that is talking about smart sewers and smart toilets, in which the effluent, what you are flushing down into the pipes, gets sampled. There's a sampler down there, and it is looking for any DNA. So they are testing for, they're considering to test for the first pilot is going to go in Boston in 2016, testing for viruses, testing for bacteria, testing for the microbiome. What are we shedding? And they're thinking that this will be the best way to find epidemics or outbreaks of infections, maybe the flu, other
by
kinds
testing
of,
yeah. For DNA in your poop.
Yeah, exactly. Testing for DNA in your effluent, in your poop, and to see whether on a town level, on a neighborhood level, whether there's a higher titer of these viruses and bacteria showing, could be the earliest sign that we'll get that there is an outbreak before people become symptomatic, because we think that the titers rise gradually and then lead to symptoms, and it could be that you'll see this rising tide in the toilet.
How fast can a toilet detect this, so to speak?
Well, the samples would be continuously, this would be like real time. This would be continuously monitored. So it would be on a real time chart, and levels would go up and down. And, you know, as a neighborhood gets the flu, levels theoretically would go up, and maybe you'd see the flu outbreak before it became symptomatic, is the thinking. And when it gets down to the individual toilet, you might be able to actually see who is the epicenter, who's starting the epidemic of Ebola or gastroenteritis or whatever.
So now Big Brother is going to look in my toilet every day.
Exactly. And that's one issue is the privacy issue. And then what else are they be sampling for? Would they be sampling for drugs? Because they would have the ability to do that as well. So it makes sense for sewage to be testing for pharmaceuticals and drugs on one level to see if the sewage treatment plants are effectively removing it, or to see if there's any, let's say, nursing homes that are throwing all their used outdated prescriptions down the toilet. That's not a good thing. We'd want to be having them monitor for that. But would we really want them testing our own individual toilets to see what's coming through our system? That would be a bigger privacy issue.
Next week, we're going to talk about laundry pods poisoning risk to toddlers and cancer on campus. Why are we concerned with cancer on college campuses? Gary Ginsberg, you are so wonderful and teach me so much. I can't believe that the government's going to monitor my toilet now. But they may. To see if I'm a point source for infection. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. You're about to have the best section of the day. Bridget's here. We'll be right back.